Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm an aficionado.
I'm a sneakerhead.
I'm a foodie.
Gamer.
I'm a gym rat.
There are many names for enthusiast.
A fashionista.
But there's only one way to become one. By going all in. The new Lexus IS is our obsession. Relentlessly engineered and designed to be the most responsive IS ever. It's what we call going all in on the sports sedan. The new 2021 Lexus IS. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello, this is Activity Quest, the podcast all about getting out and about this summer. I'm your host, Sean, from the Fun Kids Breakfast Show. Hello. And in this episode, we've got loads of cool stuff to tell you about, including Bex, who's been off to visit the Imperial War Museum in London to find out all about our history. We're talking bombs, some of which are bigger than you, bigger than your house, and as well as like planes and loads more. Then Dan's going to be heading into the wilderness and is talking to Claire from Forestry England about wildlife, trees, and we'll also hear some sounds of the forest. That should be very relaxing. And George is going to be telling us all about some places that we can visit, from a pier in Brighton to a theme park in Birmingham. And as usual, Anna Louise is going to be giving us an update from her farm. So every week on Activity Quest, we get out and about and find out what's happening near you. We've sent Bex out into London. What are you up to, Bex? Tell us all about it.
So I've just walked into the Imperial War Museum. I've never been here before. And straight away, I can see lots of amazing planes. I can see lots of interesting bombs. And I can also see my new pal, Poppy. Hey, Poppy.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. I'm really excited to be here, but I've never been here before. Tell me, what am I about to walk into?
Okay, so you're about to walk into our main atrium space. So, you know, as you look into the museum, you can see, as you've said, a lot of planes, a lot of machinery. You're going to walk down the stairs and you're going to meet our head of art, Rebecca Newell. She's going to tell you a bit more about a new artwork that we have installed in the museum. And then you're going to meet Nairi Bushell, and she's one of our producers in our learning team. And she's going to talk to you about a really cool activity called Story Seekers.
So I've got quite a full day ahead of me then.
You certainly have, yeah. I hope you enjoy it though.
Brilliant, thank you very much. I'll get on my way.
Off you go.
All right, now, war is pretty scary, but that is what the Imperial War Museum is all about. It's about learning about these new things. I spoke to the head of art, Rebecca, about a brand new art installation on the floor of the biggest room of the museum. It's images of bombs organised by the year they're made and also by how deadly they are. Now, bombs can kill people and they can explode and they can cause loads of damage. But here, an artist called Ai Weiwei has made them into something we can walk over and we can learn about.
So there's two organising principles here. One is left to right, which is that 100 years. So we go from the earliest kind of handheld bombs, really, that were light enough and small enough to be chucked out of a biplane. And the earliest one comes from 1911 from Italy. And then we go left to right, moving forward in time. So on the right here, on the very edge of the atrium space, we've got the latest bombs that are kind of air-to-air missiles, really, really powerful and destructive. And then we've got another organising device that Weiwei is using, which is most destructive to least destructive, as you say. So you can see in the kind of centre of the space the largest bomb ever manufactured. But there is essentially a link between the size and the destructive power of bombs. So what we've got here is, you know, the bombs that were capable of mass destruction, and we've got bombs that were responsible for Hiroshima, and all the things that we know from our history lessons are represented here, really, in very graphic terms.
It is amazing because, as you said, it's all kind of a pattern on the floor. So you can kind of run around and check out loads of different bits of history. And you feel like you're kind of on it, literally.
Yeah, it's really hard to ignore it. And I think that's what that's what the artist is really interested in, that we move around and kind of have it in our faces and think about what that means. But you can absolutely kind of have a look at the meticulous detail of the bombs and think about the design, you know. Ai Weiwei has included the names and the nicknames and the year of manufacture. So you can really engage with that detail if you want. You can also just think about it as a fun view. And he's very interested in that too, that in a museum context, especially where we've got objects on display and we look carefully at them, what it means to kind of have something so close up and in your space. And he's interested in both kinds of interaction, I think.
Yeah, because I can imagine if our listeners have been here before, they might be finding it a bit weird to think, well, but I've walked in there and there's stuff on the floor. So you've had to take up, you know, all of the bits that are already here, then put the brand new artwork down and then put the bits on top, right?
Absolutely right. And, you know, there are very skilled people that can come in and help us with that, thank goodness. But yes, we've got lots of interesting large collection objects, vehicles and rockets and all sorts of things on display already. So those had to be essentially carried out or wheeled out. We worked very hard with all sorts of different kind of contractors to come in and help us lay the floor. And then we worked with another group of people to bring the objects back in on top. But Ai Weiwei thought it was really important that there was this relationship between the things from our collection that are relevant to the stories, so the V2 rocket, perhaps, a First World War gun carriage, and the work that he was producing, which very much looks at that history. And those things together make a very interesting experience for our visitors, we hope.
This big artwork is in the main lobby of the museum, and there are loads of galleries here too. It's time to head into one. Oh, hello. Who's this?
So, good morning. I'm Nairi, and I am a producer in the Public Engagement and Learning team at the Imperial War Museums.
And in front of me was a very exciting looking wooden cabinet.
I'm glad you say it's exciting, because that's exactly what it's supposed to look like. So this cabinet is like a cabinet of curiosities. So you open up these quite large doors, and inside we've got this dark wooden set of shelves. And there's a drawer that's just tempting you to take a look and see what might be inside this intriguing cabinet. If we take the drawer out, and I'm going to lift it carefully so it's actually on top. It sounds quite heavy. Well, this is the cabinet that belongs to the Story Seekers. And here at Imperial War Museums, we are full of intriguing, interesting stories. You might be intrigued perhaps by this object here, which is made of rubber. And some story seekers might already recognise this from something they might have looked at in a book at school. It's a rubber mask, and it's got these funny round eye holes and a bit of a flap for where your nose would be. And then this sort of very long, almost like a can of beans, has been attached to the rubber mask. And this was designed for quite a small head. So turning it around, we've got these straps that would have gone on over a small child, maybe a four-year-old's head. And it's a gas mask. So lots of people might have come across a black rubber gas mask as quite a familiar one. But this one's red and blue, and it was called a Mickey Mouse gas mask.
Oh.
I don't know if you can see the similarities. I struggle. But the idea was to make it a little bit less threatening and daunting for young children, because obviously in the Second World War, they were expected to carry this around with them at all times. And if there had been a gas attack, they would have had to have pop this on over their heads, and being rubber, it would be in quite a tight seal. There's quite tight straps to keep it in place, so not a pleasant thing to have worn, but something that hopefully they would have just got used to, because it's got this quirky appearance and looks a little bit fun. Than just being a bit strange and scary.
Oh, interesting. So are these the kind of stories we can find using Story Seekers? How does it work?
So when you are a Story Seeker, now you're sort of really intrigued by these objects that we found in the Cabinet of Curiosities, you then have your very own casebook. This is yours. This is not something you have to give back to Story Seeker HQ. With your casebook, you can then go into the galleries, and we have about five layers of galleries here at Imperial War Museum, and your task is to try and find a particular object and then look at that object, just like we did with the teddy bear and the gas mask, and start to ask questions and find out its story, because all our objects tell stories, but you have to help them. You have to help them tell their story by looking at them closely, asking them some questions, and then the more you ask the questions, the more the story starts to sort of emerge. And if you can find all of our stories, then you come back to HQ and you get your special stamp in the book that shows that you are now a new recruit to the Story Seekers. And these skills you can then take with you to other museums and galleries. We have lots of our stories online on things like Adventures in History and Family Mission. So you can take these new skills as a Story Seeker and seek out stories everywhere you come across intriguing objects.
Excellent answer. Well, thank you so much for that, and I will let you get on your story-seeking way. Thanks.
Oh, thanks so much for coming and visiting, and I'm going to give you your very own story-seeker casebook.
Yes, that's what I wanted. Yes, thank you.
So the Imperial War Museum is open at 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. There's one in Manchester that's got a slightly different set of exhibitions. There's also Duxford, which is an airstrip and museum, as well as the Churchill War Rooms. And whichever venue you pick, iwm.org.uk is the place to book your slot in advance. And remember that we always want to hear what you think of Activity Quest. Here are some of your reviews that we've spotted. Holly on Apple Podcasts says that she's been busy going on walks and supporting local shops. Very noble of you, Holly. We love that you're getting back out and about. And Maisie says that she loves the podcast and listens to it before bed. Filled her brain up with loads of ideas for fun things to do. And Annabelle on Apple Podcasts says, I'm 11 and I've been listening from episode 1 of Stuck at Home. Wow. I mean, we've got some dedication here. Activity Quest is so good, it makes me smile. Can you say hi to my little sister, Josie? And please, can the next emoji be a bee? That makes me happy. I mean, I like that you've rhymed there. We should also do the hi to little sister Josie. Hello, little sister Josie. So we ask you to leave us a little treat in the reviews every week. And Annabelle's called upon the bees. Let the bees swarm into the hive of the reviews. Send your bees to us, please. Remember, we want to hear what you're up to out and about this summer as well. It's not all about our ideas. We want to hear from you as well. You can get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquest. You can send us your thoughts as a video or as an audio clip. You can send us photos as well, and we might use them in the future episodes. Right, it's time to find out what else is going on out and about. And here is George with some tremendous ideas.
Cotswold Farm is open now. They've got hourly time slots for entry, which have to be booked online, as well as a view of the Cotswold Hills. You can also get up close to the animals and go on a wildlife walk. If you're looking for a bit of a staycation, you can pitch a tent and go camping there, or book a glamping tent complete with appliances. How fancy. The farm's located between Cheltenham and Oxford. It's best to drive there. Cotswoldfarmpark.co.uk is the place to book those tickets. Drayton Manor Theme Park is now reopened. It's in Tamworth, just north of Birmingham. There's a 15-acre zoo there and over 100 rides and attractions. Plus, it's home of Thomas Land. Four can go for £90. Rides are open at 10:30 to 5 p.m. every day. You can book in advance at draytonmanor.co.uk. The park drops to 4 days a week, though, Friday to Monday in September. And if you're near Brighton on the south coast, the Palace Pier is packed with rides and attractions for the whole family, from traditional fairground rides to brand new gaming machines. It originally opened in 1899. You can visit it between 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Buy wristbands at brightonpier.co.uk, where you can also see the food and drink they've got on offer, including milkshake places, burgers, hot dogs, and a good old chippy.
Now, if you can't get out and about, there's still things you can do at home. We're channeling our inner stuck-at-home vintageness here to give you ideas to do if you're still at home. And why don't you make Activity Quest the comic? It's full of all your fun kids' favourites, going out and about, going on adventures, visiting war museums, visiting theme parks. You can make. Why don't you make Anna Louise's farm magical? Give some of those little tiny ponies and the other things that knock about on there some magical powers. We've got a new chick on there. Maybe the chick was born with super powers. Activity Quest at the comic. That is what we want you to do if you're still stuck at home. And we'd love to see your efforts as well. Send them over to us on the Fun Kids website, funkidslive.com. And if you're looking for something else to do, Marvel Battleworld Mystery of the Thanos Stones is out right now. You can collect and play with Ultimate Marvel Legends, including Iron Man, Captain Marvel, and Groot, but also, as well, for the first time ever, Captain America, Throg, and Spider-Ham. You can play alone or with your mates and battle against Thanos, all working together to take him down. Mysterious Thanos Stones are inside both the Battle Balls and the Mega Packs, and you never know which hero you're going to get. get. Marvel Battleworld, Mystery of the Thanos Stones, Battle Balls and Mega Packs are available to purchase in Smith's Toys Superstores, Tesco and Asda right now. Now, if you cast your mind back to episode one of Activity Quest, you might remember Dan visited a place called the Forest of Dean in Gloucestershire, which is a lovely part of the world. He's back, and this time he's chatting to a forest ranger called Claire, all about how we can enjoy spaces near us.
Hi, so my name's Claire. I'm one of the forest rangers here in the Forest of Dean, and we look after all of the family sites that you come to visit. So Forestry England is the organisation that help manage all of the public forests, the nation's forests. And so we're responsible for making sure your visits are fun, that you've got plenty to do, and also that we can maintain a good balance between the wildlife and all the forestry operations that we do across the country.
Now, Claire's a forest ranger, which sounds like an incredibly cool job.
So with the forest rangers, we have various sites that we look after. So in the Forest of Dean, we've got lots. So Beechinhurst and Mallard's Pike and the Cycle Centre, to name a few. So our day-to-day stuff involves safety checks mainly. So making sure that the sites are good and ready for you guys to come and visit, making sure the toilets are all tidy, litter picking, also then making sure the trails are safe. So things like our Gruffalo Trail, making sure all the posts are there so you don't get lost when you're out and about exploring, checking in with the cafe and Go Ape and places like that, making sure everybody on site is okay, and then really just making sure that everything is where it should be. So, you know, if there's any issues with any trees that have perhaps blown down when it's been windy, that's our responsibility day to day to kind of have a check of those things. And yeah, really just to kind of keep an eye on everybody and make sure the place is running properly.
Okay, it's time to hear Claire's top tips for coming to the forest.
I'd always say dress for the weather and everything else. So make sure even if it is a really sunny day, have your sun cream, but probably bring a jumper or a coat just in case, because the weather can change, especially while you're enjoying yourselves and haven't noticed the clouds roll in. So always be prepared with extra clothing. There's always mud around. It's a forest. So bring the wellies, have fun, and don't be kind of put off by any of the puddles and things in the summer and the winter. And obviously, whilst we're still within the COVID pandemic, it might just be worth planning a little bit further ahead. So if you're looking to come over and hire a bike and explore some of the family cycle trail, just to make sure those things are booked before you get here, rather than turning up and being potentially disappointed because people got there first. And then otherwise check the website for any of the activities that we've got going on, whether that be our activity trail at Beechinhurst. Make sure you can pick up your orienteering pack for Mallard's Pike and just to see what's on at the sites that you're visiting.
And thank you so much for chatting to us, Claire. But that's not all. She has something special to share with us.
So we get a lot of visitors to our forest that perhaps haven't been out of the cities much or haven't really visited our forests before. So not only do you have to consider that there isn't anywhere to perhaps plug your phone in and charge while you're sort of having a coffee. We're at Mallard's Pike today. There's no phone signal. There's a lovely set of noises from the forest, but there's nothing to really sort of plug into or that perhaps you're used to if you've not visited here. So maybe we have a listen for a couple of minutes and see what sounds you can hear from the forest.
Now, I had a great time revisiting the forest and exploring all of the nooks and the crannies. I saw some fallen trees decaying that become homes for animals. I saw little ponds, dragonflies and butterflies, and of course, runners and cyclists and dog walkers, just the lot. So why don't you try visiting your local forest this summer? We've been at one owned by Forestry England. And to find out more, head to forestryengland.uk. It's the place to learn loads about those. But just get out and explore.
Cheers, Dan. Now, she's got 100 rescue, rare breed and miniature animals, everything from miniature horses to mini sheep and miniature chickens. We're talking about Anna Louise, and it's time to find out what's happening on her farm this week.
It's been all hands on deck this week on the farm because we've had flash flooding, which meant we've had to line up the sandbags like some sort of fort. And it's a bit like a barricade. Even the postman that's trying to get in to deliver the letters, he has to climb over an assortment of sandbags and snake bags, which is a form of flood defence. But it's been all hands on deck because we've also been on a rescue mission this week. We got a call, as we often do, to Mini Motley Farm to help rescue some baby animals. And this little gang is a group of baby boy guinea pigs, and they're only 5 weeks old and they're rather beautiful. One is a white Himalayan, which means he has white fur, bright white fur, and dark eyes, a dark nose, and black ears and black feet, so very striking looking. We also have a little grey agouti and a teddy, which is a bit of a frizzly looking teddy bear type guinea pig with curly hair and a wiry texture to the fur. Very different, very unusual. Now, these three are brothers, and we got a call from a woman in distress who said, my guinea pig randomly had babies and I don't know what to do with them, and I'm worried that the boys will fight, but I don't want to try and find them a home individually. I know that guinea pigs need to stay together. Can you help me? I don't know what to do with them. So I said that we would take them off her hands. Let's go and see what they're up to at the minute. I'm just round the corner, around the side of the farmhouse. We've put them in the conservatory, so they're nice and close to the house, because they were very skitty. When we picked them up, it was obvious that they had never had much human contact, they hadn't been handled, they are not tame, they are very wild, because the woman was quite scared of them. She didn't know what to do. So we've popped the hutch with the pen, with the run, inside the conservatory, so it's close to the house, so we can see them through the window, we can interact with them throughout the day, we can tame them up, and we can show them that, hey, we're not that scary, really. We're just a bit bigger and taller than them. Right now, they're munching on their lunchtime hay. And what I love about guinea pigs is they will try and snatch the best, juiciest, whether it's hay or grass or vegetables or fruit, they will try and snatch that from their brother or their sister's mouth, and they'll tug it and they'll play a bit of tug and war, and they'll go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards until someone wins and one of them will fall over and then the fight begins again. But they're not really fighting, and they're just saying, I want that bit. A bit like if we went to a cake shop or a sweet shop with our brother or sister. So I want that one. No, I want that one. No, I want that one. And it's a bit of a wrestling competition over who gets the best one, the best treat, the best snack. That's what these guys are doing right now with their hay. They're hiding again now. They love to hide and to scurry away. I haven't yet taught them any tricks, but watch this space. We'll see what they can do. Guinea pigs are very smart. Who knows what this trio of brothers can achieve? They'll do anything for a bit of cucumber.
Thank you, Anna Louise. And that is it from us today. I'm Sean from The Breakfast Show. Come and check out our nonsense little radio show that we do on Fun Kids every single morning, 6:30 till 10, Monday to Friday. And if you're looking for stuff to do, why don't you try some of the things we've mentioned in this episode? We've given you loads of things to do out and about in this podcast. Now you just got to go out and do them. Tell us what you get up to at funkidslive.com/activityquest, and we might use what you send us in a future episode. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.